But right now, let's go to Detroit with our beloved Nashville Predators, who are in Detroit to take on the Red Wings, who are the best team in the Western Conference, certainly, and really, when you look at the number of games they've played and the points that they've piled up, the best team right now in all of hockey, you'd have to say that. Josh Cooper is up there covering the team for the Tennessean. Good job at the Tennessean. Send it Josh Cooper to Detroit for this deal here, and he joins us now. Coop, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
I appreciate you coming on with us. All right. The boys go in there now. You were in Atlanta. We had a Christmas party that night, so I watched it on the replay, and I fell asleep after the first period. So I went to sleep 2-0 thinking, oh, this is nice. Going to bag a couple of points here. Wake up the next day, find out it's an overtime loss. It's been a little bit of a disturbing trend, hasn't it? Some of the blown leads that they've had this year, even though they're getting points, but they've blown some leads.
Yeah, you know, you've had a whole bunch in the third period, and even some in some of their wins. I mean, I think they had a 4-1 lead against Tampa, and Tampa came back and almost tied it up in the third period. I mean, it is a disturbing trend, and you know, it's something that I think they've been trying to correct. I think ever since the Chicago game last year in Chicago, game 5, when they blew that game, you know, it's just something that. Yeah, I mean, at least they say they're working on it, but the results haven't been there yet. I mean, they've had so many situations where they could have either A, picked up at least one more point, or B, you know, 2 points, but not come out with any points. So, you know, it's a disturbing trend, but they're still picking up points. They're still over 500, even with all the injuries. They're still right in the thick of the playoff chase in the Western Conference.
Yeah, as is just about everybody. I mean, the dreaded 3-point game, it'll do this to you. I think yesterday the stat was, and before the results from last night, the stat we had was that teams 3 through 12 in the Western Conference, 3 through 12, were all within a couple of points of each other. I think 3 points was the difference. I mean, right now I'm looking at teams 3 through 12 again. And, yeah, Vancouver is at 3 because of their division lead at 31. Phoenix and Chicago have 32 points in the 4 spot. And Colorado is in the 12 hole at 30, along with, well, actually, Los Angeles, San Jose, St. Louis, Nashville, and Colorado all tied with 30 points. I mean, it's amazing. It's so difficult to separate, and I think it's going to be like this all year long in this conference.
Yeah, I agree with you, just because there are so many good teams in the Western Conference, and I think part of that too, just because you have teams like Detroit in the West who have always been good every year and have kind of forced teams to raise their game a little bit, and because of that you're seeing so many teams finding different ways to gain points, and you know, every team has their own formula. Last year was Phoenix with the shootout. This year, the Predators is kind of the shootout also. You know, there are just so many different ways to kind of gain points now, and each team has their way about doing it. And it's just going to be tight all year long. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good sign that they're kind of close, but at the same time, they could kind of lose 2 games here, and the rest of the conference can win 2 games, and all of a sudden, boom, they're 4 points back. So
yeah.
It's so tight, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing for them as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Phoenix. Phoenix and the Predators have taken most advantage of the OTL. You know, they've both got those 6 points off of overtime losses. Now, it's not that way in the Eastern Conference. Now, there's a big drop-off after the Rangers are in the 8-hole. The Rangers, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and the Bruins all have 33 points. That's the final 4 slots over there, and it's early to talk about these numbers, but it's always kind of fascinating. And then the difference between, you know, 8 and 9 over there is Buffalo has got 26 points. So that's a pretty healthy difference. There's like a 7-point difference between 8 and 9 in the East. And you can almost right now you say, you know, Buffalo, Ottawa, Carolina, Florida, Toronto, New Jersey, and the Islanders. I don't think any of those teams are going to make it. We almost have the eight teams that are going to be in the playoffs in the East pretty much there now. They'll change seedings, but they're pretty much those 8 teams, I think.
Well, I wouldn't count out Buffalo yet, just because of all the talent they have and the fact they have Ryan Miller. I think the difference between the East and the West is the East has a definite bottom crust. There's no question about that. Whereas with the West, even Edmonton, which is kind of the worst team in the Western Conference, has a lot of talented players who, when they're sort of clicking, can really do some damage in any given night. And, you know, it's... I think it's just sort of the main difference is with the two conferences, just the fact that on one side you kind of have a lot of depth and a lot of talented players. I mean, it's kind of like that in the NBA too in some ways in the Western Conference. I don't know why, but you have a lot of depth and talented players, whereas in the East it's just not quite like that. You definitely have teams that aren't as good as other teams.
Yeah, yeah. Edmonton is at 25 points right now, and if they were in the East, you know, they would basically be in about 10th place over there in the East when they're dead last in the Western Conference. There's no New Jersey, no New York Islanders, you know, nobody like that right now over here. I think Toronto has a little bit of legs left. They might make a little bit of a move, but we'll see how that all shakes out. All right, tonight in Detroit, David Legwand, who always seems to play pretty decently against the Red Wings, back in the lineup. What kind of an impact could that have on the lineup, and how does it change the lines possibly?
I think it has a pretty big impact on the lineup just because now you can put him against Detroit's top line. And Detroit does have a lot of depth. It's not like they just have one line that can score. They have a lot of lines that can score. And really, I mean, they're really solid all the way through. But it just gives Nashville another body to kind of go up. And a guy who's battle-tested, who's played this team a lot, who's kind of been through the wars against Detroit throughout the years, who can go up against some of those top lines or some of their better lines. And kind of frees up other players like Marcel Gotch's line or Cal O'Reilly's line. In terms of how it'll shake out the line, tough to really say right now. Nashville did not practice this morning. They had an active rest day, so you couldn't really see the lines. But yesterday, Legwand was playing on a line with Joel Ward and Jared Smithson in practice. But, you know, it's really tough to say just because Barry Trotz is kind of a master of switching lines around all the time and trying to find different combinations. Even on game day, he'll switch things around. So I think that the only real kind of definite answer on that is that he probably will play with Joel Ward because those guys have played together forever. But in terms of how it kind of affects the rest of the lines, I guess we'll just have to wait till the puck drops.
You know, J.P. Dumont, we kind of saw this start in the second half of last season. His minutes started declining more and more, and they continue to decline now. You know, are we seeing the beginning or the middle of the end for J.P. Dumont? Because it just doesn't seem like we're getting a lot out of that guy.
Well, you're not seeing the end because he's got another year on his contract and a no-movement clause. So you're going to see a lot more games with J.P. Dumont here. I asked Barry Trotz about it this morning, and he said that J.P. was trying and working and trying to kind of get back up and sort of do the things that make him effective. And, you know, he mentioned sort of the fact that J.P. isn't the greatest skater, but his offensive instincts are kind of what really kind of set him apart. And that's where he excels. So I think it's just sort of trying to find the right role for him to kind of use those offensive instincts and get the puck in the net again for Nashville.
Well, you know, another veteran that we love that loves the show, and he's a great guy with us, Steve Sullivan. You know, he's leading the team with 8 goals. And the first thing that jumps off the sheet is he's leading the team with 8 goals. I mean, we're 25, 26 games into this deal, and we don't got a guy in the double digits yet. Second part of that is it a good thing that you've got, you know, one of your older veterans in the second year of his 2-year deal, you know, leading the team in goals? Should he be leading the team right now, or really should this be one of the young guys with 12 or 13 goals by now?
I think so, just because, you know, it's not a bad thing that he's leading the team in goals because he's one of your more dynamic offensive players despite his age. He still has a really good jump. He's got a good shot. He's got good playmaking ability. But, I'm in Joe Louis Arena, so the speakers are about to start here. But, you know, he's got really good offensive ability. You know, I think they'd like to see a little more back from Colin Wilson. I think that he's shown a little bit more these last few games. He's been on the line with Sullivan and O'Reilly. And, you know, Hornquist, I think they'd like to expect a little bit more out of just because they signed him that contract and he scored 30 goals last year. So not a bad thing that Sullivan's doing so well for them, but at the same time, I think that they would like a little bit more from some of their other offensive players.
All right, we're going to cut you free, Josh. It sounds like you're getting ready to rock and roll there. Of course, I think they dropped the puck at, 6:30 tonight? I believe that's what it is. Yeah, 6:30 Central Time tonight. And we appreciate you. We'll be reading it tomorrow, man.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, Tom. Thanks.
Thank you to Josh Cooper with the Predators, embedded with the Predators in Detroit as the Preds get ready to take on the Red Wings tonight at Joe Louis, 6:30 on the puck drop there. The Predators, 10th in the West. The Red Wings, number one, 17-5-3 right now in the Western Conference, leading the way. Detroit on home ice, they have played 14 games on home ice already. They're 10-2-2 in their 14 games at home. Predators have played 11 games at home, or 5-1-5, those dreaded ties and overtime games. On the road, the Preds, though, at even 500 at 7-7. They go in there, and you know what, though? It just, the Predators seem to always play the Red Wings tough. So they got an opportunity to go in there. And as I said earlier in the show, this would be one where if they come out of there with a point, it'd be okay. All right, this is one. Go ahead and get a point somehow, get the hell out of there, and move on and see what happens coming up this weekend.